We've got an agenda in front of us. Does everyone have the agenda?
Yes, sir.
On the agenda, we have got opening apologies by the senior researcher on the South African Integrated Program of Action Addressing Violence Against Women and Children, and the implementation plan for the International Conference on Women and the Changing World of Work. The fourth item is a briefing by the Department of Women on violence against women and children. And the fifth one is a briefing by the chairperson on the summit with stakeholders on responses to the report of the South African Law Reform Commission Project 107, Sexual Offences, Adult Prostitution. This is in furtherance of the Roundtable Solution on the decriminalization of sex work. That is the agenda we have. So when we open this meeting, I would like to greet everyone and welcome everyone who managed to come. I know it's so difficult. People have got many meetings. But some of you have managed to come to this meeting because I think you find it very important to address women. You are welcome. First of all, maybe after greeting you all, since this is our first gathering this year at the Multiplied Women Caucus, I think it is still appropriate for me to wish you all the best of the new year after having that hectic conference and all the other work. And also, you know, it tires to be at home at times with the kids because they need everything from you. I would like to point out that at the Multiparty Women's Caucus, we have a lot of our plate on our plate, and the time is not on our side. We only have a few months left until the end of the current parliamentary term. And remember that as the Multiparty Women's Caucus, we are also doubling up as the Commonwealth Women's Chapter, Parliamentary Chapter. As a CWC chapter, we have focus areas that we decided that we will push forward, and they include the following: to increase the number of women represented and participating in politics, violence against women, women and health, especially cancer. On the issue of increasing the number of women represented participating in politics, we need to ensure that becomes a reality for women during the next coming election. As we all know, honorable members, that as the country we do not have a mandatory electoral law, it is on that basis that as women belonging to various political organizations, we need to start engaging our respective political parties to adopt voluntary gender quotas for the upcoming election. We had an engagement on the matter and we will pursue it further. That's what we promised them last time when we engaged with them. Last year in August, we co-hosted an international women's conference where a number of resolutions were taken. As the Multiparty Women's Caucus, we were tasked with a responsibility of ensuring implementation of those resolutions. We are relying on our members to be vigilant in their various committees to ensure that the resolutions are implemented. Honorable members, as we all know, departments will be presenting their annual performance plans and financial year 2018-19. I urge you to be vigilant when you are scrutinizing these APPs and budgets to ensure that the issue of gender equality is pushed through. We are relying on you as our eyes and ears on various portfolio committees, including SOC committees. Next Monday, on the 5th March 2018, the steering committee will be hosting a summit in relation to the Law Reform Commission's report on adult prostitution. We know that Monday is usually a constituency day, and it was due to matters beyond our control. Any member of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus who wants to attend the summit is more than welcome to do so. The venue for the summit is Old Assembly here in Parliament. Coming to today's session, we are expecting a briefing by the ministry in the presidency responsible for women. Minister Batadile Dlamini is here, as you can see, today with us. The ministry will brief us about implementation of integrated plan of action on addressing violence against women and children. And I think we might as well congratulate Minister Batadile on her new post. Also congratulate Minister Naledi Pando on her new post also. I come to meet you here.
Where are you?
Here. With Diana. Oh, I think we might as well congratulate. Yes. I think I've rounded them up now. Those that are here. Thank you very much. On that note, as well as the steering committee, we had received a request from a non-governmental organization that has drafted an alternative plan of action of addressing violence against women and children. We asked them to give us time as we felt that we needed to hear from our departments that are tasked with issues of violence against women first. Maybe the ministry will consider establishing relations and further engaging this NGO. In conclusion, I want to emphasize that the Multi-Party Women's Caucus is a platform for all women members of parliament from both houses and across party lines. I would like to encourage all our members to make an effort to attend these sessions. We will host these sessions at least once a month because now we have been granted a permission to host our activities at least once a month, utilizing a test day, a day usually set aside for party caucus meetings. On behalf of our steering committee, I would like to thank everyone who has managed to attend today's session. The Multi-Party Women's Caucus is about women tackling women's issues, and we need each and every one of us to take ownership and participate in all the activities. With us today, we have a number of civil society organizations which are present here. I thought I saw some of them. Okay, okay. We'll introduce them as they come. We appreciate and recognize them as very crucial and important stakeholders. We value their support and engagement. I welcome all those organizations in attendance today and ask them to listen attentively. Unfortunately, for today, we will not be able to allow them to make input at this stage. Once again, thank you very much. You are all welcome. Thank you. been alerted that there is also Comrade Peggy Konyani as our new member.
Apologies from Honorable Deputy Minister Pilani Matshake. She indicated that she's unable to attend due to her new appointment. She has duties that she has to fulfill in fact. We have an apology from Honorable Enzimo Tseha, who is unable to attend. She has a Council of Education Ministers meeting, which is taking place at the same time. We have an apology from Honorable Mokoto, who is unable to attend because she's not. Apparently, she was not fully aware. We have an apology for Honorable Prince, who is unable to attend due to prior commitments in her province. We have an apology from Honorable Labushakne, who is unable to attend because she is attending the NSOP Rules meeting. We have an apology from Honorable Fanskalvik, who is unable to attend because she is attending a SADC ministerial meeting. We have an apology from Honorable Neta. She's unable to attend because she has a doctor's appointment. We have an apology from Honorable Deputy Minister Gordon Fredericks, who's unable to attend due to prior engagements. We have also have an apology from Honorable Minister Shabangu, who's unable to attend due to the fact that she's attending a briefing with senior management of the Department of Social Development. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Ministers, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members. So I'm going to start by talking to the Caucasus implementation plan for the international conference that we held towards the end of August last year. So as members will recall, we held a conference on changing the world of work for women, and this theme was the theme for the 61st session of CSW held in New York in last year. So following the conference, a report was compiled, and the steering committee of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus put together an implementation plan so that we could look at how we give effect to some of those conference resolutions. So in your packs, you have a copy of the implementation plan, and I'm going to be talking from the actual proposed plan, which is on the bottom of page 5. So in terms of this plan that the steering committee is proposing, There are seven key areas of work that have been suggested. The first is around women and economic empowerment, which was the overall theme of the conference. And here we are suggesting that we look at women in the informal economy, the undervaluing of care work in society, and women in marginalized sectors of the economy, such as domestic workers, sex workers, and farm workers. And underpinning all of this is the fact that the economic status of black women is a specific area of focus in our oversight plan. The second area of work is around income inequality, which is an issue that came out of the high-level panel report. And this report has also made a number of recommendations in terms of how to reduce income inequality, particularly insofar as it affects women. The third area of work is making the world of work and work environments more gender sensitive. And the conference noted that there was a need for us to relook at the related legislation and ensure that the world of work is responding to women's needs. The next area is around violence against women, and this is partly why we are addressing this on the agenda today. That the conference noted that violence against women is a significant area of concern, and it negatively affects women's ability to be economically active and productive. Concern was also raised that the legislation is not being implemented as it should be. There was also concern that the trafficking of women and children should be an area that we focus on. The next area was around gender responsive budgeting, and this really came out as a very critical area. The conference noted that the women's budget initiative had collapsed, and that while the Department of Women is currently engaged on developing a gender responsive budgeting framework, we need to ensure that this is used as a tool to get all government departments to ring-fence money to improve the quality of women's lives. The next area was around strengthening the national gender machinery. And here it was proposed that the policy on the national gender machinery is a little bit outdated. The policy that was developed after 1994 speaks to the old structure, such as the Office on the Status of Women. It does not take into account the new Ministry on Women, and the suggestion here was that we look at revising that policy and then also strengthening the structures on the gender machinery, such as the gender focal point. Then there was addressing sexual harassment, and here the discussions at the conference centered around how sexual harassment, both in the place of work but also in parliament and provincial legislatures, is a serious problem that actually negatively affects women in terms of being able to come to work and to be productive, because it creates significant strain. And then the last area is around land and agriculture, which is currently a priority for this parliament. And the conference had noted that there was a need to seriously address issues pertaining to women's access to land, including security of tenure. And we also need to accelerate initiatives to promote women's agriculture. So the proposal from the Multi-Party Women's Caucus Steering Committee is that all these issues are taken up in the committee work of Parliament. The Multi-Party Women's Caucus and the PC on Women will be prioritizing three areas, and that's because we only have a year and a bit until the next Parliament. So in the course of that year, we will prioritize three areas, that is the strengthening of the national gender machinery and gender focal points, overseeing the developing of gender responsive budgeting, and thirdly, the issue of violence against women. Chair, would you like me to stop there or to go straight into the presentation for today? Thank you, Chair. So today, emanating from this plan of action from the International Women's Conference, we've put on the program a focus on violence against women, because it directly gives effect to the conference resolutions. And today we'll be hearing from the department on the integrated plan of action for addressing violence against women and children. So I was asked by the steering committee to just give some background to this plan. And to note that the plan emanated from the Interserial Committee on Violence, made up of a number of different ministries. are championed by the Department of Social Development and the Department of Women. And the plan came out of a review that was conducted to look at the root causes of violence against women. And the plan was developed for the term of 2013 until 2018. So we are in the year where the plan comes to an end. And it was essentially to step up the national interest to stop violence and to provide adequate support services to victims of gender violence. It was meant to ensure that there was cross-cutting and interdepartmental strategies to both address and prevent violence. And it was also importantly meant to actually translate the vision set out in the National Development Plan and the vision set out in the Leading Strategic Framework into concrete initiatives. So the plan was based on three pillars, and these were around prevention and protection, secondly around responding to violence, and then thirdly around providing care and support to victims of violence. In order to address all of these, the plan has had a number of objectives. These included preventing gender-based violence through a sustained strategy for transforming attitudes, practice, and behaviors, responding to violence in an integrated and coordinated manner by ensuring that there was a comprehensive package of services to women and children, to ensure the provision of long-term care, support, and the empowerment of survivors of violence, to ensure the provision of reintegration and rehabilitation services for the perpetrators of violence, and to strengthen the system at all levels that prevents and responds to violence to ensure that there's an accountable and coordinated action across sectors. So when the plan was written in 2013, there were a number of expected outcomes and indicators that it envisaged would happen by 2018. And I'm just going to touch on these. There were five expected outcomes that guide the plan. The first was that by 2018, there would be a national enabling environment to transform attitudes, practices, and behaviors so that women and children can live free from violence in line with human rights principles. The second was that by 2018, women and children at risk and the survivors of violence benefit from improved access to comprehensive, integrated, and timely support services. Then by 2018, there should be an increased number of female and child survivors utilizing long-term care, support, and empowerment services. The fourth one was that there should be an increased number of perpetrators enrolled in social integration and rehabilitation programs. And the last one was that women and children should be better protected from violence through a strengthened system with supportive legislation, policy, and institutional framework, as well as adequate resources. So the plan has been underway now for 5 years or so. There have been some successes. We see, for example, the progress with the sexual offences courts. But we have received, through submissions to Parliament, a number of challenges with the implementation of the plan. So these submissions have come to Parliament on issues around violence against women. They came to the high-level panel on the assessment of key legislation, and they also came through the Women's Parliament. And the key challenges that have been raised in the implementation of the plan is that the level of violence against women and children is still unacceptably high, that there has been a significant challenge with allocating resources to the plan, and that we need to really look at how to ensure that gender responsive budgeting works so that we ensure that there are adequate resources. There was also the point that we also need to look at policy and legislative reform. So the high-level panel actually tables a number of specific proposals on how legislation needs to be amended in order to deal with some of the issues around violence against women. Then there have been challenges in effectively preventing gender-based violence, and there's also been challenges in providing effective service delivery to the victims. So now we're at the point where the plan is currently under review, and the Departments of Social Development and Women have been mandated with developing a new plan, which they will talk to us today about. And there are a number of steps currently underway in the development of this new plan. And what this represents is a very important opportunity to engage with that plan as Parliament and to also look at how to incorporate public participation in the development of the plan. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to end there.
Thank you, Joe. I just want to clarify something. towards the end where the Secretary mentioned that social development will be given. Unfortunately, the minister is not here, and I don't know whether we have officials from that department who struggle to get a response. So, yeah, she sent an apology. I think she's engaged in some other things. Maybe we'll defer it to another day, but people can start discussing about it. I just wanted to clarify. Yes, thank you very much, Joy. Yeah, and I think we are going to go straight to the next item where the Minister of Women in the Presidency will talk to us about the violence and all the other things. Over to you, Minister Vatalile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members of parliament. We are going to try and give a high level report on the implementation of the program of action. And then I think in our next meeting we will have a full report that will try to cover a number of issues. And I must say that our officials could not come because of the movement that is taking place, and also there is a dialogue on violence against women in the Northwest, and Shoki is part of that dialogue. So that is why she could not attend. I must also greet my colleagues and thank them for coming here. I know they are also supposed to come, but seeing them made me have a little bit of confidence. Chairperson, I've been trying to go through the report of the researcher and also preparations for the workshop. And I think that the issues that the committee is picking up are very important, and we've also been saying as colleagues in cabinet, even before this arrangement, that we need to go back to gender budgeting, because gender budgeting assists us in measuring the contribution of government and the private sector on the impact they make in changing the quality of lives of women, but also it will help us to see the development of women in our country. And we must try and strengthen it, because it's good that we now all believe in gender budgeting, because previously some of us did not believe in gender budgeting. And then the second issue, the issue of the program of action. I think we all know that we are now, actually there is a report from the Ministry of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation on violence against women, and one of the areas that need to be improved. For instance, when reporting on the issues of violence against women, are the indicators. One of those indicators is the one of reporting cases of violence. We've only been basing our reports on cases reported to police stations. And we've not taken up the issue of that violence happens in families, and that other NGOs are running programs on violence against women and children. And therefore, we need to change our indicators so that we have a true reflection of cases of violence against women and children, and so that we can be able to measure the veracity of what is happening and our programs in that respond to that. The gender machinery. That, I think that is the first area we tried to develop when we had the OSW. And on issues of women, you do need a strong gender machinery, because on a daily basis, we have to mobilize our communities as well as women to understand how you fight a patriarchy, because at the core of a violence against women and other gross violations of women's human rights is patriarchy. And one of our major fights will be fighting the demon of patriarchy and ensuring that everyone in the country, more particularly those in decision-making bodies, understand what patriarchy is and how are we going to break patriarchy and ensure that when we have programs, we don't go back, have a backlash. And if we have a backlash, how do we fight that backlash? And Chairperson, one other area that is important is that maybe we should, as South African women, start fighting together and having a single platform of action when it comes to violence against women. Because violence against women cuts across, it affects all women from all walks of life, and maybe if we could try and minimize politicizing the issue of violence against women and children. We all do have experience of what happened in 1994. There are structures that were already started, but we had to go back to our organizations and defend positions of our organizations. And sometimes when we defend these positions, we find ourselves in trouble. So there is one single platform of action that brings us together as women of South Africa. And that has the issue of violence against women and children. The report we are going to give has two parts. The first one is about national dialogues on violence against women and children in the context of a hashtag 365 days campaign, and part two, violence against women and children program of action, the implementation challenges and the review process. on a 365 days campaign, firstly, we have as South Africa adopted 16 days of violence against women, 16 days of activism, and we've been intervening, and as from 1998, and then in 2014, in a partnership with other stakeholders, we extended 16 days to 365 days. And the aim was to ensure that we have sustained intervention to raise awareness and ensure that more effective activism and mobilization against violence against women and children is a year-long campaign. And then we also included a campaign, social media campaign on a hashtag count me in. And then we launched the dialogues in Limpopo in on the 25th of November 2016. And then our dialogues are trying to ensure that we move beyond 16 days, and that we have an integrated program of action, and that we have conversations with communities as victims or family members to understand causes, extent, and solutions to violence against women and children. Also changing the mindset of communities, raising a consciousness on women's rights and a need to eradicate patriarchy and gender-based violence, to assess the effectiveness of the criminal justice system in response to violence against women, and also to follow up on cases on violence against women, to revise existing or create new structures to coordinate communities in response to violence against women and children, to address poverty, unemployment, and inequality, to provide services to communities, more particularly to victims of violence against women, but also to ensure that there is access to services such as counseling services, health services, and ensuring that all our communities respond to violence against women. We've had dialogues in a number of provinces, and presently we are in the Northwest. We've gone through Limpopo, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, and the Eastern Cape. And the implementation model and the approach that we are using involves a social mapping, multi-sectoral approach, intergovernmental approach, partnership with CGE, civil society, faith-based organizations, NGOs, as well as traditional leaders. I think also we must try, as we are saying, civil society. We must find a space for young women as well as the girl child. On-site services, which should include which include counseling and healing. And on the issue of healing, comrade or chairperson, we need to try and look into our country as a whole, the anger that is there, and how we deal with that anger so as to ensure that we protect our children. The approach as survivors and perpetrators, and then our reports are going to ensure that we have evidence-based diagnostic interventions that will be integrated, and that will touch all our sectors of that we work with, and also try and integrate interventions at all levels. And then we have the successes of dialogues. And we have formed, or depending on the partnerships with sectors of the society. And I think they are put there. And we also have people that are facilitating our dialogues. It's Lifika Lab Epkodiso, which has psychologists and researchers, and we are using community as counseling. I think we've said that we provide services on site, psychosocial services when needed, parallel to dialogues, counseling, one-on-one support, referrals where needed. And then we also work with social workers when we need to make a follow-up. And there are also health services where there are tests, and there's also a screening and a examination of a number of other diseases that have to be responded to by government or other service providers. We are also raising awareness on health-related matters such as breast cancer, cervical cancer, and other important areas that women must be aware of and that are preventable. And then there is a complex web of social ills that we've found in communities, such as alcohol and substance abuse, teenage pregnancy, lack of social facilities, housing, economic opportunities, poverty, unemployment. We've also established that in some of the areas there are high levels of incest. For now, there are two areas that I think we've established high levels of incest. And this was found by social development, dialogues, as well as the Department of Women's Dialogue. Mkhupong in Limpopo, and also some areas in Malanga. where mothers are aware of that their children are having a sexual relationships with their fathers. There are areas where also service delivery is weak, and sometimes our responses are delayed. More particularly in the area of the police, and maybe we should not put the police only on the spot. I think just the whole cluster that has to deal with this issue. Because if you have social workers, health practitioners, NPA, and everyone, you would not have a problem in intervening as swiftly as you can. Also, a culture of silence, underreporting of cases, and a lack of confidence in the criminal justice system. Dysfunctional families and absent parents, more particularly fathers, are always absent. And then we are facilitating the reopening of cold cases, and we inform victims about the status of their cases and the outcomes of investigations. We are facilitating that victims report crimes against them to police. We are also raising awareness through information sharing and also providing services to victims. And then the way forward. I think this is just a summary of what we've been saying before. These are the things that we've been able to do parallel to the dialogues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister. There we had a presentation from the Minister. Can you see the hand of applause? Yeah, why am I asking you to? Because we requested this from her in a short space of time. But I think the report here spoke about that we must prioritize gender budgeting, which is very important. We also spoke about this. We must change our indicators on violence against women currently. We measure success using statistics, but these are not accurate. We must focus on breaking down patriarchy, which is very important. And we must stand together to address violence against women. And in platforms, and when we stand in these platforms, we must, as women, because violence against women cuts across. And she gave us, an explanation of this document, the program of action. I don't know whether all of you have got it. Yes, this is the document that she was speaking from. Yeah, thank you very much. Now I'm going to allow the House to comment and open up for discussion.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. I would like to thank the presentation from Comrade Minister Basadile. Chair, I've got one question on the issue of the dialogues that have been happening in the provinces. Is it possible for this caucus to receive at least a feedback, a document on the feedback, so that when we are looking at these issues, because as they are doing with this program, at the same time, the response to those discussions that were happening in those sessions, it is very much critical for us, so that even when we are doing our constituency work, we'll be able to make follow-ups on those issues. Thank you very much, Shepherd.
Okay, can we have Cecilia Seth, Honorable?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you, our brand new Minister on Women, Comrade Bata. I really feel excited that we are talking about the budget. You know, we can cry and we can crawl as long as the budget of the Republic is not in favor of women. We will not implement anything. It is important that we talk about the budget, not only now, but throughout the year, because the budget does not happen at the end. We usually discuss the budget at the end. We do nothing. We must start organizing women to discuss this budget 2018, but to make sure that we make the woman's voice in the 2019 a budget, so that we can do all the things that we want to do. The other thing is that we've got an advantage that we've got a lot of women in this parliament in the portfolio committees. We need to check from every department, every time the departments appear, how much they have put aside for women. It's very important, because if we just not ask that question, it will not happen. Thank you.
Honorable Bengu. And after Honorable Bengu, it's Honorable Sminya. And after Honorable Pinky. And pardon me, just before you cut me. I was looking for someone. She's jumping from pillar to post. I wanted to introduce her and congratulate her. Here she is now. Yeah. Minister of Gekan, Deputy Minister of Gekan. Yes. In her new deployment as a deputy of Minister of Communications. Yes. We are happy for you. Yes. All right, you may come.
Thank you, Chairperson. And firstly, I would also want to congratulate the new Minister of Women and also other ministers. I wanted to say that it's true, Honorable Minister, the issue of gender responsive budgeting and the budget of women is very little, that in each there is a transfer to the CGE. And because of that, I think the as the minister is now has been appointed to this women department to meet with other ministers, especially on the issue of gender responsive budgeting, because all the departments have budgets, and in all those budgets there should be the budget that is responsible for women issues. But what we find out is that in the last in this term, there has been no working relationship between the Department of Women with other departments to make sure that the issue of gender budgeting is raised. That is why almost every time we're also advocating that the minister should have a working relationship, especially to all those ministers who are women, to make sure that they take the issues of women seriously. That is what I would like to say. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Let me join honourable members to welcome the presentation of the minister and even welcome the minister in the new portfolios and all the deputy ministers that are here. And I think it's good to share that today we have this number of women ministers and deputy ministers in our caucus. We must appreciate that because it has not been there. Second, which I want to agree with the minister that we need a minimum platform of action. And as the all the stakeholders led by the gender machinery structures. You know, you'll remember when we went to Mpumalanga, CGE had interaction with widows and the abuse that were sharing by those women in Mpumalanga was very bad. I think you need to collaboration of all the structures so that we are able to conquer this monster. But the second issue that I want to raise is on the minister, the issues of the management of our port of entry on the trafficking of women, because some of them are the witnesses that increase this violence against women on trafficking, because of you have those that have been declared, those that are not being declared, which is a challenge. I think that's one of the things that we have to tighten up as government. But the second issue, I agree with the Honorable Sithole that the issue of gender response budgeting is important, but I think it needs to be coordinated in a better way from through the in Parliament. Of course, I agree that Minister of, including what Honorable Bengu has said, that Minister of Women should interact with other departments. But in Parliament, how the Portfolio Committee on Women and your portfolio can be able to pull us through this, all the portfolio committees to look at how issues of women are taken seriously in all departments. We just need to have a framework that will follow us as Parliament, such that we are able to engage with this budget processing and see how women are benefiting out of it. I think it will be very, very helpful, Chair. And the last thing, Chair, is on the violence in Parliament itself. You know, one member we are with here now, he said, "I'm not coming to the caucus because I was harassed in Parliament and women said nothing about my issue." And it, which for me is the first evaluation of us. I can't say it in the name here, I'll tell the Chair, so that we are able to look at how within this Parliament we are able to protect women and where women are being attacked, we become the first line of defense as women. So I just thought I must raise that, share that we need even to see how, as we implement this program, how we protect our women, so that the this thing of abuse, we should not talk about it somewhere here if we're not dealing with it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I also want to congratulate those that are newly appointed to new positions. I wish you well. Chairperson, I think this is quite a good report. And it clearly shows that there is somewhere where we are going. I know that, Minister, you have been part of this process for a long time, so we hope that that oomph will come, you know, from the organization into this department, you know, to make sure that all the programs that that were delayed, we are able to capture them. Chairperson, I want to commend the department for this adoption of the 365 days. I know that it has been there for a while, but my issue is on the themes, because, like, if you have this program of no violence against women going on for the whole year, at least there must be a form of coordination which ensures that everybody is acting in coherence, you know. There is coherence, there is a unison action from all sectors. And we are also able to extract meaningful reports or actions from the program. So my proposal on that one, Chairperson, is that, or maybe a question is that, are you going to adopt the flagship themes per month that drives the program, or is it just going to be one program for the whole year, and you'll drive it from national like that? I also wonder if there is a possibility for us to access the report that the minister was talking to, the one that details the extent and prevalence of gender and women abuse in the society, the one that has been procured by the Department of DPME. My last point, Chairperson, is I don't know whether it's an omission or what, but my view is that we also need to ensure that in our awareness raising programs, we ensure that we don't exclude the young people, because in schools, that's where gender-based violence starting as bullying. And most of the time, the boys, both boys and girls, they are perpetrators. And I think that it is very important if we start from that level to ensure that we create an opportunity for mindset change. Because if you look at the programs that are running throughout, they are targeting the girl child and the woman, but they are leaving the main player, which is the boy, the teenage boy, and the adult male. So my proposal is that at least if you can factor in something that talks to that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation by our minister. Just a few inputs and suggestions that I want to make, Honorable Chair, based on the presentation by the minister. Realizing that there will at all times be financial constraints in rolling out our program, a proposal I will make is for the minister to meet with captains of industry, CEOs. But that engagement should be part of the dialogues that she was talking to us about. Just to say, there are challenges in the society regarding this and that and that. What is it that you are picking as captains of industry to partner with us as a department to deal with the social ills as part of their CSIs, corporate social investments, and then they partner with the minister and then do all those things. So at the end, the department doesn't pay anything, but those captains of industries make a contribution to the communities. Over and above, it's a platform for them also to show what the private sector will be doing with government in dealing with some of the things that confront our government. But before she even does that, Minister, there was an occasion I think I shared with you at another level where we met the magistrate of Bloemfontein. It's a young woman there, and she says the reason why women are losing cases, it's how the whole thing is being from conviction, from the perpetrator to conviction to appearance and so on. There are missing links there. So a dialogue between the minister and the law enforcement agencies is very critical. Just to say, have a breakfast meeting. Why are women losing cases when, of course, there's evidence that this woman was beaten up or was raped or was whatever? What kind of support do we need to do to make sure that at the end, the perpetrator is brought to book? So that kind of an engagement is very critical. But also meet with the prosecutors. You meet him with the police on one side, meet with the prosecutors and say, what is it that we need to do to make sure that at the end the law takes its course? So those kind of engagement also assist for you, Minister, to also appreciate the challenges that women or young girls are confronted with, and then we're able to do a meaningful intervention. So those kind of activities together with CGE may sort of assist us to respond accordingly and make sure that those who are on the wrong side of the law are then brought to book. The last issue, Chair, is around budget. There's a serious outcry around the issue of VAT, a campaign that I think the minister should also lead. Not to be against the VAT, but to say what are the zero rating products for women, including the call that at other platforms women are making to say let the sanitary towels be zero rated, and other things, whether the milk of little ones and all those things, you know, issues that affect women in a very big way, so that we look at those that Treasury can zero rate, so that we are not the hardest hit on some of these things, especially the poor and the vulnerable. So those are my contributions, Chair. But the one last thing, because I had an opportunity to participate on the CGE interview, there was this thing about amalgamation. I'm not sure how far it is. CGE, human rights, and all those things, the Kada Asmara process. So how the Chapter 9 institutions have to be amalgamated. I think a minister must be on top of that situation so that we are not overtaken by the process. Thank you very much.
On the zero rating, Honorable Bindi, we should have started with this multi-party. We made a very big noise about it, not other platforms only. And the amalgamation, we have dealt with it, and it was quite clear they are still dealing with it. We are going to have a day when we are going to discuss it. Thank you, Adonis, for everything. And we have Honorable Tiget.
Thank you, Mastoli. Congratulations to all the guys who have been redeployed and the new ones who are going to be representing our agenda. I want to talk to probably two things. Firstly, it will be very important that we align ourselves with institutions of higher learning so that we intensify our research and development on gender-based issues. It be violence, it be economy, climate issues, they really affect us in very many big ways. And I think research and development issues are very key and central. As we're dealing with this matter affecting us as women. I also want to say that, Minister, probably it will be very important that we get statistical information on issues of budget, on issues of what exactly are we talking about when we talk to gender-based violence, abuse of women, abuse of children, statistical information in relation to what is transpiring in the court, what are the issues which actually we are unable to deal with, particularly in the criminal justice aspect, but actually at domestic level, what are the things that we can be able to do so that when we, the plan of action that is envisaged or is there, it can be able to add on those type of things that we believe should be able to really assist us in maximizing the reduction of this scourge that we're seeing in our country. Lastly, still while on statistical information, communicable diseases such as sexually transmitted diseases, which actually I would say is based on the power of and patriarchal powers that are being we also need to develop an approach, but you can only do that if you've got statistical information. And if possible, we should be able to say, in Mokopong, this is the type of violence which is happening, like we have indicated. I don't know how to put it in English. And you are able to say, in Venda, this is what is happening in Toyando, in Bloemfontein, these are the aspects and the issues that are happening, so that we're able to develop and tailor-make a specific program to specific areas to can be able to deal with specific issues. Because if we just generalize, it's a gender-based or domestic violence or children abuse, look at what is happening in our schools in Gauteng, for argument's sake. We need to deal with those things and say, where else besides the schools in Gauteng are we experiencing sexual violence against our children? And then our program will be really tailor-made and specific. Probably we can be able to see a reduction in what is happening. Thanks, Chairperson.
Yeah, I had on my list the other Honorable Gillian, but I'm very sorry, Honorable Gillian. You know, I saw your hand. I think I'm going to put you ahead of Gillian. I'm sorry, I remember you had your hand up for quite some time. So.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson.
I think when it comes to women issues, one of the challenges that we have is, as far as I'm concerned, is complete absence of integration and coordination of women-related programs and women-related projects. There is a lot of work that is happening in different departments, for instance. However, what the Department of Human Settlement is doing, it's not coordinated, and what the Department of Transport or Human Settlement are doing, it's not coordinated. And I imagine a situation where, in fact, I thought the Department of Women will actually play that role of coordinating the work that is being done by different departments. I imagine that we could even have a structure, because maybe the reasons why the department itself is in the office of the president is to give it that clout and power to can be able to convene and invite other people from different departments. You have, for instance, when it comes to companies, you'll have a company that is doing work within the human settlement department and therefore women in construction or housing, and you have the same company doing work in the Department of Transport under women in road construction, women in rail, and so on and so forth. And because all these efforts are not coordinated, we don't know as to whether there is anything that is happening. So for me, I imagine, Chair, that we actually should have a structure wherein we meet as different women and different departments led by the Department of Women, where we account for the work that we are doing at that level. And probably to even demand that of the delegated responsibilities, even at ministry level, women issues are delegated either to the minister or to the deputy minister, so that there's somebody who takes responsibility for women-related issues, whether we speak providing bursaries, as the Department of Transport, for instance, is doing, but that should be done with a view in mind that of the people that will receive those bursaries, so many must be women, and I think that can actually be done. So for me, there isn't any integration, there's no coordination at all, and as such, we don't know as to how much work is being done for women. And for me, that will also form platform wherein we're able to account for some of the policies that we take, the 30% ring fencing of budget for women empowerment, so that we don't wait only for this time or annual reports and you find that it's all late, it has not happened, but it should be somebody responsible, and we must have that platform where we account to an extent that maybe even formulating a template where departments report on these things in the form of a template, because we have clear targets that we have set and we can then account for that. As for instance, President Ramaphosa has said he will be asking his colleagues on how many jobs have they created per week. For us, it should be, if there will be jobs created per week, how many of those are for women? But should we therefore not have a template so that we're able to account on all those things? And maybe one other thing I would want to say is for us, even at this level as multi-party women's caucus, to begin to also say we are in the last year of this administration, the fifth parliament. What have we achieved? How many jobs were created for women, opportunities were created for women? For me, poverty by itself is violence. And if you go to rural areas, but farm areas in particular, the poverty that you see there, a woman with children breastfeeding, and only the breastfed baby is not suffering from malnutrition, is not suffering from malnutrition, the rest of others, you can actually say that this kwashiorkor, because they are no longer on breast milk. That is, for me, violence. And how we intervene there, for me, is critical. I just want to bring in, as I conclude my comments, Chairperson, the fact that you have some sectors that are never spoken about, but women are so exposed to violence such that they no longer talk about it. And I'm in the Department of Transport, ma'am. Women who work in railway tracks, lines, they will tell you stories that if you are raped there, because you're working with men in the majority of cases, and you report to your senior, the senior will tell you, or your supervisor will tell you, that I don't know what to do because I was raped 5 times or by 5 men, and I reported and nothing happened. And therefore it becomes like a culture. Even if you go there to talk about these things, but nobody, and even if you say, but remember, this is not just a matter of labor relations. It is a crime. You should go to police and report it. But it's never reported, but it happens and it is reported. And I think we are trying to sensitize those workers, because it actually says to women, you shouldn't choose those carriers because you are most likely to be raped. And for us, it also talks to seafarers, those that work in our vessels. It's 11 people in each ship, and of those, probably you'll find that there are young women. And they will be in the ocean for 32 days with the men. As South Africa, we are preparing a paper to present to the Assembly in 2019, which I think we'll have to show to the Department of Women and, of course, Social Development, to look at how best do we ensure the safety of women in vessels, in our ships. Because that is what we want to see happening, opening those careers and opportunities even for women. But these work against what we want to achieve, the rapes that are happening. We've had 2 deaths in South Africa in the ships. One happened in the vessel. And because it will be the master raping a child, and the child in the ocean deciding to jump out of the ship, nobody will tell that story. Another one happened in Mozambique. And there's supposed to be a camera in the area, but for whatever reason, there wasn't any visibility at the time when the child, that girl, was killed. And we still are not getting any answers from Mozambicans, and you're trying to get the information. But the point I'm trying to make is that we're looking at violence against women, sometimes only within the country, but it happens in quite a number of areas. In the air up there, it happens. Those that are working as cabin crews, they fly to countries and so on, maybe better protected, those that are in the aviation. But in maritime, they are not that protected. In rail, they are not that protected. We don't have many women in trucks, for instance, trucking community. But if they were to be there, how protected are they? So those are the issues for me that I think we can also look into, which we are trying, and we need the support of the multi-party caucus to assist us to strengthen, so that they, women too, can get attracted in the careers there, and therefore we deal with the poverty, which for me is also violent in nature. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chikunda. You have brought to light a lot of and one question itself, Ubuti, are we doing justice to what we are supposed to do? Because I think the multi-party, the responsibility that we have is for all the women in the multi-party to be dealing with all the departments, especially the portfolio committee, and we'll get more information. But you know what has been brought to us today by Chikunga? I think it's very important, really. Having said this, I'm going to allow Honorable for dates, the other for dates has left. Now we are going to have Honorable Davis. Oh, yes. Sorry, Honorable Davis. We have someone with the head up. Yes, you may come.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join my colleagues by congratulating all our ministers and deputy ministers for the new deployment. I just want to comment on a few issues. We heard about the programs that are taking place in various provinces, but my proposal is that let those programs be shared with the PCOs, because we've got constituency officers who are not aware of those programs, so that we can be part and be able to make some follow-ups on what has happened. The other thing is on the issue of the budgeting. We're talking of the budget which is planned by departments somewhere and being presented to Parliament at a certain stage. Although as Parliament we've got powers to change the budget, but how many portfolio committees have changed the budget to make sure that the budget that is presented to us really benefits women? I don't think there's any portfolio committee that has done that. But also to request ministers in their various deployments also to assist, because when they plan, they have to have that voice and assist us as women, that the planning and the budgeting at the end of the day must also benefit women. Chairperson, most of the women are hawkers and farmers. I think we need to invite other departments to come and make some the presentations, such as the small, medium enterprises, the Department of Agriculture. For instance, I know one program which was aimed specifically for the benefit of rural people, but we know that in rural areas, most women are farmers. But that Masibuyele Emasimini, whereby the government was offering tractors for those women who cannot hire private tractors to go back and till. At the end of the day, there were service providers in between. So instead of empowering women, we're taking women back to square one, which is a problem. So we're initiating various programs with good intentions, but at the end of the day, you know, during the process, they are implemented otherwise. There are lots of structures within departments that were created to empower women. For instance, in transport, we've got Bosanwit, Bosawena, in agriculture, Bowat. But to what extent are we, you know, taking those programs forward? We establish many structures. These structures going to assist women in this and that, but after those structures have been initiated, we just keep quiet. There's nothing that is happening. I think we need to change the way we work and request our colleagues to assist us, while us as members of Parliament, we also strengthen our oversight to ensure that really the programs are of benefit of women. In most cases, I think we need to start to be active every day for 365 days, because we seem to be reactive. We are visible in August, we are visible in November and December. That's it. What is it that we are doing? What impact those programs are making, especially to the poor rural women? We need to ask ourselves and blame ourselves that we're not doing justice to the poor women out there. We're not representing them well. That's true. The other one is the issue of the VAT, as raised by DM Gegani. The issue of the VAT, it becomes the matter of public interest. We have to debate it. It must be simplified so that when you go out to constituencies, we are able to explain it to those people so that they can be able to understand it. Because if they are seeing these NGOs and other political parties, you know, running with this thing of the VAT, without us informing them about it, simplifying it very clearly, at the end of the day, it will come back on us. Then the last one, Chair, is the issue of we are staying next to the borders, Mozambique and Swaziland.
Now there's a challenge. There are women from Mozambique who have been there, who have been staying there. They are our neighbors for more than 20, 25 years to 30 years. They have been staying in those areas. The challenge when we had meetings, you know, that is being raised. Those women, we know the program that our government has come up with. I think it was around 1999, where they call all people coming from other countries to come and apply for IDs. Others went and applied for IDs. Others were afraid that they will be deported back to their countries. Now, those women have been here. They have children. The children don't have certificates. Now the children are not admitted in schools. Those are the issues that we have to discuss and engage so that we can come out with ways on how best can we assist, if there's a way of assisting those women. Because others have completed grade 12 by then, where the exam number was not an ID number. But now the exam your examination number must be your ID number. Then the child will drop out, not writing the exam because they don't have that child doesn't have the ID. So there are lots of issues that we have to engage on and go out, you know, because when we have meetings with people, we want to hear their concerns and we have to assist and intervene when necessary. Not holding meetings for the sake of holding meeting, not assisting, not intervening. You come back again after 5 years, they tell you one and the same thing. I think our way of work have to change. Thank you, Chairperson.
Debbie, yes. Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also take a cue in congratulating those who've been appointed in different positions, even the new ones like Mekekana, and in absentia Mekana Majake, because they were also part of this Women Caucus. I say halala, halala. I'm sorry. Minister Batabile, I think you are very fortunate to really to come and lead this ministry. You know, some others, they say this ministry budget, it's not really sufficient. But I think you are the mother of all. Tell yourself that you are blessed. And you are going to make a difference in this ministry. And that is the first priority that we should also look at this, the budget of this ministry. That is what you should do. Because as the mother of all, I mean, as the president of the Women's League, and also coming to head this ministry, first thing first, budget allocation is of prime importance. We are talking, that is the resolution of the African National Congress, about the fourth industrial revolution. I see my minister here also, technology. How do we use technology to advance the agenda of women? And when I'm talking about a woman, I'm not talking as women at our age, talking to even the young ones. I was in Kenya, I saw a lady who was teaching young children how to do some applications on you know, children issues. So, Minister, let's change the mindset. Even those who are not privileged as us, let's use technology to our advantage. Early childhood development, let's not make our children to look at those games that are not really of importance. Fourth industrial revolution, let's ensure that it works on our advantage. Both boys and girls, on the issue of early childhood development. I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about my problem. I've got a girl, my daughter, she's already
an adult, because I sat with her when she was young to tell her how she must be able to conduct herself and how to, you know, to report things that were not of importance in her life. It was like a doctrine, but I think that it was a good job. So I'm saying that education, technology, it is very important. Let's use it to our advantage. The technocrats, let's go and ask them how can they assist in this on the issues of women violence, on issues of violence against women, on the issues of, you know, everything that is related to our development. But my appeal, violence against women. We are also abusers, we women. Ourselves, seated here, how we react to each other. Because I don't agree with your view. You are already my enemy. So first thing first, we are also violent because psychologically you are violating me. So I'm thinking, I'm just asking, I'm pleading. Let's show respect. Let's show love. Because how you think is differently to what the way I think. Charity begins at home. Violence against women to women is also very high. I thank you.
Thank you, Debbie, and I think you are the last one. I just wanted to alert us that we've got another item on the agenda. So I'm going to call Honorable Coleman, and she is the last.
Kalebohame.
Yes.
I would also want to join colleagues, comrades, in congratulating once more our newly appointed deputy minister, and also for already existing ministers who have been deployed in alternative or other ministries. I think we need to celebrate that, start there, and also celebrate the achievements of Comrade Naledi. I mean, that is a very big achievement. Minister Naledi Pandor, who holds the top global award for science diplomacy. And I think we can attest to the work that she has done already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always get impressed when I visit Pretoria, that is the science research center there. One of the areas, the CSR here. One of the air parks there. There are young doctors, young girls, scientists, doctors. I mean, who are in the aeronaut section. I think you get very impressed when you visit that. Take some time to go and visit that place. You'll be very, very impressed. So keep it up, Comrade Naledi. The work that you are doing, we're really proud of it, and we need to celebrate that. Comrades, we are our worst enemies. I'm saying this, comrades, because I see the majority is from the ANC caucus. I know it's a multi-party caucus, but we are our worst enemies, and because of that, we have really reversed most of the achievements that we had after 1994. We must start where
it is important to start. We need to acknowledge each other, acknowledge each other's talents, each other's progress and experiences, so that we don't continuously work on the one and the same thing. When I look at the program of action, it's quite a beautiful one. But I'm telling you, if you can go back and into the archives of the department, any department, you'll find the information that we are seeking. That needs a little bit of modification. The implementation is a challenge. We must just agree to that. We have lots and lots of information, but we keep on going back. Yes, I don't undermine the dialogues that we are having for very important objectives, that is of sustaining intervention. It's very important. We should continue, but my take is that even if we go back for dialogue, get issues, but those issues should be to strengthen that which we have already, and then be seen to be implementing. As we go to for those dialogues, we also report back on what we have done. The problem is even the report back, ourselves being here, it's very difficult that to get that information. The only time you'll get that information is when we are on our own. But is it enough? Is it only our struggle, or is it a nation's struggle? The fact of the matter is, if we are going to personalize or to make this business our own business and not let it go down to everybody, every citizen of this country, we'll still have this type of challenges. For instance, I haven't heard of us going to the broader caucuses of our different parties, at least my party. I don't remember us going there with a report, full report that demands, a full report that indicates demands, except for when it's August the 9th, or towards August the 9th, which is very unfortunate. I have suggestions here that really, many issues have been raised by comrades, including also what was raised by comrade Pumzin, even though there's one area that I wouldn't agree with, but it's going to be between me and her. We'll discuss outside here. The issue of focusing on rural women, education of rural women, not that just there, also identifying young girls who are out of school, those who are young mothers, try to take them back to school, because there's nothing nowadays without education. We make that our own responsibility. We involve everybody. Let's say we take that as one of the areas that we want to work on. We pilot that. We can identify three pilot areas within South Africa. Go down, work with members of parliament in the constituency office, work with local government, work with provincial government, work with NGOs that we are so much scared of. They have resources. We utilize those resources. Work with them and see whether we cannot get that kind of results that we are intending to get. Because I believe if we involve everybody, we will be able to get something. These young kids, they need to go back to school. They need to be educated, because it's through that education that they can be out of poverty. They can also educate themselves to defend themselves against unscrupulous people who want to corrupt them in one way or the other. So my recommendation would be that we do that, so that you are able to equip, because if you equip a child with education, you give that child a power to make an informed choice in life. Because without that, they'll continue to be abused in one form or the other. So my plea is that we start doing that. And then we secondly we preach. I mean we act according to what we say. Because sometimes we say things that we do not mean. And as leaders, our people are looking at us. Today you want to do something, tomorrow you want people to come and follow you. Our people are not stupid. They can see things and they want you to lead by example. And if we don't lead by example, we are making even our struggle to be I don't want to use the word useless, but it's a struggle that is not going to be taken serious. Even if when we want to be taken serious, we won't be taken serious. So I think we must really go back, convince our people that we are on a serious mission here, and we need their cooperation. And in so doing, we'll be able to attract a lot of people. I still feel if we put more focus on police, justice, education, we still have a chance of winning this particular nightmare that we are faced with as a country. But we need to commit. We need everybody to commit. We need to take whatever that we decide here, take it back to the caucus. Let everybody commit, especially in the areas that we have targeted. Commit that by this time we'll come back and report to you on the progress, so that we know that on this particular area, after this particular time, people will come and account, and we'll hold them accountable, and then be able then to make follow-ups after that, so that we are targeted more than the way we are handling. We want to be everywhere. We need to be targeted, target-orientated. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Coleman, and we really don't have much time, but I just wanted to thank everyone. And today we had a very good discussion and input from our honorable members. Maybe just to summarize some of the things, so that when the minister the development of the template is very important, I think, because somewhere somehow we wanted to ask about, as the multi-party, we had a discussion over the issue of gender focal person, maybe the minister was in department. And as the multi-party also, we would like to work with the minister, Shamin, to develop a revised policy on the gender machinery. We will use the new policy to ensure that we deal with all the issues that led to the dismantling of the gender machinery. We want to assure you, Minister, we will develop a proposal and invite you to engage further on this. There's this other issue, Minister, before you respond to us. The issue of the CSW. For the last 10 years now, Parliament has been asking that the department tables the CSW report at Parliament, and we haven't had a report for that whole time. So that before we go to New York, in some years there has been no report. We would like to engage with you. Maybe you can. We have a lot of things that we can talk about these trips to New York. I think you know better. You know better because you have experience in this. This is what we, and it has, I think really, I don't know how can I explain it. To me, it's embarrassing for us as a country not to be able to discuss our reports. And some of us who are deployed
in other areas such as SADC. When we go there, we don't know what to say in some instances because the thematic areas that are discussed and this resolution that has been taken as in the CSW, we are not in touch with it. Maybe the minister can explain to us.
Thank you very much, Professor. I'm not sure if there's anything you'd like to say.
Thank you very much, Comrade Minister. I agree with a great number of the points that have been made by colleagues, and maybe what we should do. I always think that it's important to collect data first, because sometimes I find as the ANC, we talk as though we're beginning up initio, when there's a huge amount of work that is being done. And what we need to really be focused upon is how do we modify, improve upon, expand, and so on. So maybe a beginning for Comrade Batabile as she enters this ministry, and congratulations, Comrade Bata, and good luck, as she enters it, is to do an assessment of what form of mechanism have the various departments established in order to advance this work. And I'm not certain that having an administrative unit is the sole means of indicating commitment to gender equality. There are programmatic aspects in a department that can be identified or should be and distinguished that focus upon the promotion and achievement of gender equity. So I think we need some form of a whole-scale assessment to assess where we are. For example, as the government has changed, I did a count of are we maintaining the levels of women in the executive. And I'm not sure whether we're doing that enough. I think we're making assumptions. My sense is that we've in fact maintained, which is good, that 40%+. But we need to be on top of kind of the pulse of changes, because you can find, if you don't monitor, that you do get left behind. And then other things would be to look at chairpersons of committees in Parliament, their gender makeup, and WIPs, all structures, really. So for me, I really believe that data gathering would be important. I appreciate in the report, Comrade Minister, the three pillars that have been identified. I would have thought that we should add a fourth or an aspect of it, and that is the aspect of research. I thought there was a paucity of research on issues of gender and violence in South Africa, but it's amazing the amount of research that there is and the degree to which we're neglecting to take account of what researchers are finding and recommendations that they're making. Issues of the relationship between employment and the absence of violence in a family, and the link between unemployment and the presence of abuse. The very, very detrimental role of alcohol, for example. So, and then a third aspect that has emerged in the reading of some of the research, the influence of background, you know, just the whole socialization, you know, experience of violence in the family and how it is replicated in the adult child. So there are things we're not doing that I think we should draw on, particularly in the knowledge domain. and I would really encourage much more attention to talking to researchers, to drawing them in, and then to doing that assessment of what is being done. You might find, actually, when you begin to look with agenda eye at the budget, that actually quite a significant proportion is being addressed. And I would agree with Comrade Sheila, who spoke on the issue of monitoring the budget as, you know, really an important piece of work that we should do. But I also think, Comrade Sheila, that one of the things we must do is more attention to how we support the economy to grow, how we support women in the economy to become more successful, so that they help us with those things which are our responsibility as well, of job creation, of more business formation, and of growth of business from micro and informal into small and medium size. So the tenor of our deliberations need to change, needs to be far more outcome-oriented. Because I really reject the notion that the budget of South Africa is solely the responsibility of Treasury. It's the responsibility of all ANC members. And if our country has a low growth, all ANC members must be dedicated to supporting our country to increase growth. And I sometimes feel very sorry for ministers of finance, because we make them the bad guy, as usually guys, and make us the good guys because we criticize them all the time. But it's a very difficult environment when the economy is not growing. So what we've got to look at is the economic sectors. How do we support them? What can be done? When the DA is talking about red tape as a barrier, is this true or is it a lie? If it's true, what should the ANC do? You know, so I really think the nature of our discussions must change. We all understand what gender inequity is. We don't need to define it in here. What we're looking for are actions that will resolve the challenges confronting us. So I support much of what has been said, and I think there's, you know, work that we can all do together. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wish to thank earnestly the reception by members of the committee and colleagues. It sounds very positive, and we're also going to try and ensure that we portray a positive outlook. Secondly, Chairperson, I've been reading a personality does not like social networks most of the time. But the issue that has been raised continuously is the issue of the budget of the ministry. And I said to myself, that will find us on the way, because there is a lot of work we can do working with other stakeholders, and because you need to work with other stakeholders here. One other issue that has been raised is the issue of rural women. Briefly, my story this year, the theme for the CSW is challenges and opportunities in achieving gender equality and empowerment of rural women and girls. And that has a bigger element of IT and communications. as a, also a bridging the rural divide. So it, it also focuses on technology. And I think it's very relevant for us. But also, I think what we need to try and do, well, it's clear we're not going to have a report before going to CSW, but maybe quickly we can coordinate a meeting of all departments, gender machinery, and we're going to plead with ministers that they send a senior government representatives, because also what is discouraging in some of the instruments we create as government is that we end up sending people that cannot take decisions. So if you have a senior official in the this forum, you will have people that can take decisions, or that will even report with ease to ministers. But also I think what Deputy Minister Chikunga is saying is very important, of maybe ensuring that there is a structure of ministers that is going to deal with issues of gender equality. And then maybe we also have to include provinces as well as maybe a SALGA, a parliament, CSG, and we are going to look at NGOs that have been working with the ministry, but also with the committee, and so that we ensure that we are all there, at least to prepare for the CSW, and ensure that people that go there have a mandate of the country. So we'll try and do that. And so again, this does not need our money. People will come, they will book and pay for their people to attend the meeting. Then when we get back, maybe we should give a report back, and then start with the process of the report, and then table it and next year ensure that we as South Africa have a report and account of the work we've been doing, because it's not that we can see there is a lot of work that has been done. No, Comrade Moose. Now, also strengthening our relations with constituency offices, we also have to try and do that. I think the issue of young women and the girl child is very key and very important. The population in South Africa now is dominated by the youth. And poor youth, the percentage that is more is young women. So having a relationship with higher education and science and technology is going to help us, because this is where we're going to harness the energy of young people, ensure that they are innovative, and they start doing some work. But also the boy child, we must not leave boys behind, because we have to change their attitudes. But also I thought that when we said we're fighting for gender equality and women's emancipation, we're not saying that young men should regress. Because what you see now, for instance, Sisna Lady, in graduation ceremonies, There is a lot of young women and very few young men. So we need to try and also bring them up and ensure that we instill good practices and behavior within young men. I also agree that this is it issue of gender equality cut across, and we have to try and mainstream it. Its committees have to deal with their work. Budgeting. It is a parliament that adopts the budget. And therefore, that is where you have a role as committees. And this multi-party caucus also has a right to call a different ministries or departments and ask them to account on their programs. Comrade Rosina, it's true. Sometimes when violence is close to you, is at your doorstep, you seem to run away from it. So we need to be able to rise above. That is a huge call. We always not take it serious. We have to rise above to be able to deal with issues of violence in all spheres of government. I think there is something that we have allowed to go for a long time as women in the ANC, that at all times when there is violence, we've allowed people to ask questions from us, push us into the corner. And we've not been able to say, but this issue touches all of us. And even in other parties, when there is a violation of human rights, women in those parties must be able to deal with those issues. People must not only wake up when there is a gross violation in the ANC, talk a lot, and then when it happens in other areas, we keep quiet. And in that way, we would have been able to work together in fighting violence against women. And therefore, we need to try and pick up the issue of women in parliament, ensure that we are safe. This is a law-making place, and you can't have a harassment in this place, because this is where laws come from. Flagship themes, we might have them, but prepare for them in advance. And also, we need to try and master as the women's caucus, because we've said that this year we are celebrating the life of Madiba, but also we are celebrating the life of Masisulu. Masisulu was a very strong leader and an advocate for women's rights. And most women that work with Masisulu are in decision-making bodies. And Masisulu was even the leader of the movement when the ANC and all political parties were banned. And that has always been her strength. So let's not keep quiet. Even ECDs, she is the one who pushed for early childhood development centers, working together with you. And they were working with women like Bo Mawin. And therefore, we need to say we've been a part of the struggles, and this is how we are going to celebrate the life of Masisulu, to try and say to women, let's also pick up her spear and try and ensure that young women become part of the changes and transformation that is taking place throughout the country. Um, issue of zero-rated products, firstly, I think we need to have a list of what is zero-rated, because the minister counted just a few. And even before this zero rating, there has been a zero rating. There were items, I think they are close to 19. And maybe because they've given us a space, we need to think about other areas that we think should be zero rated. For instance, in the committee where I have another life or other life, we have discussed the issue of pets. Actually, we are saying a pet must be free for children, because now children start menstruating at the age of 9, and it's young children. Let's start with something that we are going to win. Say firstly young say children, and then go gradually, because if we say everyone, the response we're going to get is that there is no money, and therefore you get nothing. But if we start with children from a quintile 1, 2, 3 schools, maybe there we will be successful, and then keep on moving up gradually. And we don't want to compare the issue of sanitary pads with condoms. Why don't you want to do that? Because when you use condoms, it's a choice. And we don't want to discourage people to use condoms, because also that is about a protection of lives. And we are saying menstruation is not a choice. It comes to all women, and therefore it needs to be given the attention it deserves. And we need to establish our storyline that is going to favor us, not create a fight that are going to have to be responded to, and we also have to respond to those fights. Let's have our own positive storyline when it comes to sanitary pads. And issues of VET in medication, because even those that have a medical aid, it finishes very early now. And it gets finished, and you have a problem. And even people that are professionals have problems with the payment of medication on their own, maybe for 6 months. We also have to look into that area. But also, Minister of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation said in other countries, children's clothes are zero rated. Why? Because kids grow. You buy clothes, and then in 6 months' time, you have to buy new clothes. After a year, buy new clothes, and continuously. So also in other countries like the UK, children's clothes are zero rated. I'm just raising areas that we can also raise, but positively, and accept a gradual growth of a zero rating. Alignment, I agree. Issues that were raised by Minister Chikunga, we have to follow. And both what Sawena and other committees, I agree, we have to work with, resuscitate our relationships with them, and the introduction of technology in our programs. I think in a few weeks' time, I'm doing a wrong thing now. Social Development will be launching a program of stimulation in ECD centers through children's computers. This is going to be done in Bizana. It was done as part of celebrating the life of Oliver Tambo. It's going to be, the pilot is going to be in, I think, 230 ECD centers. So, because we are trying to ensure that children become a part of technology, and more particularly those that are from the rural areas. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Minister Bata. I know that some of you have got other engagements, so I'm going to rush to the fifth item, just to brief what kind of summit we'll be having, and also to alert you of the consequences that we have met. But I'm just going to give the Secretary to brief us on what is going to be.
Thank you, Chair. As I created in the last meeting, Chair, that we had, where the South African Law Reform Commission came to present the report that has been developed at the behest of the Ministry of Justice, we had agreed that we'll call all stakeholders, interested NGOs, to come to the caucus and respond to the South African Law Reform Commission. That the steering committee is hosting that summit with stakeholders on Monday, the 5th of March, which is this coming Monday, from 9:30 until around 6 o'clock late afternoon. Up to so far, we have received 57 submissions from stakeholders who are interested in responding to this Law Reform Commission report. Many of whom have indicated that they would wish to make representations at the summit, with only a few that have indicated that no, they are comfortable with the submissions that they have made. The submissions will be made available to members of the steering committee by tomorrow. I think, Chair, for now that is all. Oh, it's going to be here in Parliament, in the old Assembly Chamber. Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Prime. We had this summit, as Secretary has already explained, but we have a challenge that we got from one of the NGOs. And this NGO is led by our own comrade Nozizo Rutledge. She seems to be having a problem with us as the multi-party, in particular the chairperson. She has been writing letters to the speaker and the chair of the house that the chairperson is biased towards the resolution that has been taken by the ANC. That only means that the chairperson has already taken sides before even the summit occurs. And that one I didn't want to entertain, but she directly called me now to accuse us that we are talking about a resolution that is not even there, that doesn't exist. I must tell her where she can get the resolution. I found that very, I never expected that from her. So we are, you know, assuming that maybe we might have a problem whereby maybe she might cause a scene at the summit, but we just wanted to alert our members that we are going to deal with this diplomatically if she ever causes a scene, and if it worsens, we'll have to use our security people. We don't know what is going to happen, the way she sounded over the telephone. But otherwise, we just hope that we are going to have a successful summit. Honorable Chairperson of the Women is going to summarize and close. Thank you. Okay. I've just been reminded that I must... alert all members that you are, if you are interested when you have time, you are invited to come. Yes,
thank you, ma'am. Maybe if the secretary will explain the report, what you said, the report. Which report is she talking about? For the member to understand which report. That is for a South African law reform.
The South African Law Reform Commission is a report on sexual offences, adult prostitution.
Maybe. I think everyone is privy to this report. We've had more than two meetings with the Deputy Minister here, with the Law Reform Commission. And some of what prompted us to have this is because many NGOs felt that they are left out and they would like to come and give us their views on the whole thing. Yes.
Honourable ministers, deputy ministers, and every other woman who's here, irrespective of the portfolio, we are the pillars of the nation. We have to fight for the rights of the women and really be committed in ensuring that we make a change in their lives. And we also, depending on some of the women who are here, you have to work harder. The law of the country is failing us, even around the issue of trafficking. The hawks have been drawn into the whole thing because we are crying out this very poor output around that field. Can we then, from now on, stand together and let's work in unity and let's respect every other person, irrespective of your rank. We are women. And, Mansour, we have to pull in for Home Affairs. So quite a lot of bad things happening in other areas. For example, you take Matatia. Kids couldn't write their matric exams because they don't have ID. And it's about time. You find that a mother doesn't have an ID. How can the child be registered? And in the schools, they've been pulled out. They can't write matric. So as women, can we actually make sure that is another area? It's education department. We don't know. There's no report about what is happening in Matatia. It's bad. We have confidence in you people as women. And Bata, you've got a long one. Your route is very, very difficult. But as women, we'll be working with that. Master, let's keep on doing our work. Forget about those who are trying to actually pull us down. The sex workers are happy to come here, and whoever is not satisfied with what is going on, that's how I look at it. Maybe the penny will draw at some stage, and they'll understand what is going on. Please, we expect all of you to be attending on Monday, please. Those who can make it, please. Thank you very much.
I think we have come to the end. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the women who happens to be the steering committee on behalf of the steering committee. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much to the minister. And I hope we have more of this meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.